My guest at this time is Steve Moore. He is a senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks and one of the leading economic minds, certainly from a conservative perspective. And he joins me now to talk about the issue of tax reform and how he believes it could be a major issue in this year's presidential campaign, as more and more of the Republican candidates are outlining serious proposals on how to greatly change the system. And Steve, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me. And I am excited about the prospects for, you know, some radical tax reform and simplification. It's about time. I've devoted 25 years of my life to this, and I think maybe the stars are finally getting aligned to get this done.
As you point out in a recent column in the Washington Times, a lot of the presidential candidates are giving fairly detailed plans here. As you look at these plans from top to bottom, and obviously there's a lot of them because there's a lot of candidates, what sort of common threads are you seeing here?
Well, I'm a little biased in all this because I've worked with a lot of these candidates to put these plans together with my friend Art Laffer and Larry Kudlow and Steve Forbes. So with four of us have really been the four horsemen of tax reform. And I think most of these plans were, you know, influenced by one of the four of us. So you've got last week, Ted Cruz came out with a 16% flat tax. I like that. I helped write the plan several months ago that Rand Paul has been talking about, which is a 14.5% flat tax. And then you have Jeb Bush is trying to, not a flat tax, but he wants to bring the rates down to 25% or lower. Trump has a similar plan. So it's hard for me to point to a single Republican who has not talked about, you know, dramatic reductions in tax rates in exchange for, you know, getting rid of loopholes and all the carve-outs in the system that cause revenue losses. If you do that, I think it would be rocket fuel for the U.S. economy. And the only bad news is the Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, are talking about running in the opposite direction.
When it comes to what triggers economic growth and expansion, you point out in your column that lower tax penalties on working and investing have led to more jobs and higher incomes. Are there magic numbers when it comes to rates? We saw a little bit of a back and forth between the debate moderators and Ben Carson on that last week. So what's the magic window here?
Well, the lower the better. And so, you know, if we could get right now, let's talk about our business taxes, because, you know, businesses create jobs. After all, Hillary Clinton said businesses don't create jobs, but of course they do. And we have the highest business tax in the world. So we're at 35% to 40%. Most of the rest of the world is, you know, below 25%. So that puts and every one of our American businesses that does business abroad at a, you know, 10% or 15% competitive disadvantage over the countries that were competing. So that's a real problem. And I believe that if you could, for example, if we can get our business tax rate down to, say, 15% or 20%, then all that those businesses that have been leaving the United States, like Burger King and Medtronic and Walgreens, and now Pfizer is talking about leaving, one of our major drug companies, they would come back to the United States and then bring the jobs back with them. So I think it's really important if we want the high-paying jobs to not have a tax code that encourages companies to invest abroad.
Tax reform, in this case, looks pretty darn simple, but a lot of times it's an issue that folks who don't study it very carefully, their eyes will kind of glaze over. So how important is the messaging when it comes to this, and how is it best to message it?
You know, I think the messaging has to be based on these themes, three themes. One, we want to create jobs for America. We want the most competitive tax system in the world so that American jobs are here, not China and Mexico. Number two, it has to be fair. So, you know, I think we have to basically make the point that if you get rid of all the loopholes and carve-outs, that's what makes the tax system unfair. You can have a flat tax where everybody's paying the same rate. If you make $1 million a year, let's say, you know, you got a 15% rate, you're going to pay, you know, $15,000, $150,000 of taxes. If you make $1,000 a year, you're going to pay $150 in taxes. I think that can be sold to the American people as fair and equitable. And then finally, simplification. You know, we have a tax code that takes people just days and days, if not weeks, to figure out. It's 60,000 pages long in terms of this tax code that might as well be written in Greek. Nobody can understand it. Nobody can fathom it. It's a huge dead weight loss for the economy. Those three things: simplification, growth, and fairness.
in terms of whether this can actually get done, you point out in your column that back in the 1980s when President Reagan did tax reform, there were lopsided votes. Democrats were interested in this just as much as Republicans were. But you point out that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are right at the tip of the curve there. Democrats don't seem to want anything to do with this. So outside of massive majorities following the 2016 elections, plus a Republican president, how does this get done?
Well, this is the problem. You know, you've really laid your finger on the primary obstacle, which is back when I first came to this town, you had Democrats like Bill Bradley and Dick Gephardt and many others who wanted to, you know, clean out the staples of the tax system and make it much fairer, make it more, more pro-growth and get rid of all the special interest provisions. Democrats today don't seem much interested in that. What they're interested in, if you listen to Hillary Clinton, if you listen to certainly Bernie Sanders, they're talking about raising taxes on the rich. You know, now, look, raising taxes on the rich is fine, except every time we've tried to do it over the last 450 years, when we raise the tax rates, we get less revenues, not more, because people, either move out or they find ways to get around the tax system. So we've got to find a way to convince Democrats, not Democratic politicians, Democratic voters and blue-collar voters, that we're going to bring jobs back. We're going to save your job. We're going to give you a pay raise if we can get this done. And I think that's a very popular message right now with Americans who despise Washington. By the way, the tax code is the center of power in Washington. You know, if you didn't have a complicated loophole-ridden tax system, you know, you wouldn't have anything to buy and sell in this town.
What's your interpretation of the Democratic evolution on this issue? Why do you think, in addition to them possibly just believing that higher taxes do mean higher revenues, that they're not interested in simplifying the system, at least?
I think because they're interested in redistribution, a radical redistribution of income. They want to, instead of creating wealth, I think there are too many liberals who want to redistribute it. In other words, instead of people going out working hard and, you know, taking risks and building a business and becoming rich, they think that what they're saying is, you don't have to do all those things. Just take it from people, you know. So it's I called it in my column a philosophy of growth, which is what I, as a conservative, a free market conservative, believe in, versus greed, which is what Democrats believe in. They believe, you know, you can just be greedy and take from people rather than having to create the wealth in the first place.
Steve, we'll be watching and we'll see how these plans are received. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Anytime. Talk soon.
You bet. Stephen Moore is senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.